First Peter chapter number 2. And from this chapter, we're drawing our theme verse this year, verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we need a generation of young people that'll do exactly what the girls just sang and just stand up and make a declaration and say, that's my God and I love him. And then look people in the eye. And by the way, we shouldn't be ashamed of that. They ought to be ashamed for not loving him. You know, that's my Jesus and I love him. And I believe in every generation God needs young people that'll just stand up and proclaim without being ashamed at all their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and their willingness to be that chosen generation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading verse 1. If you'll stand, if you're able to, for the reading of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of scripture. And Lord, we'll take a little bit of time and look at the upcoming year. And Lord, we certainly know and understand, dear God, that every plan that we make is subject to your will, Lord willing. But Lord, it is good to be able to set some goals and put some things down and have some dates available for our people so that they can put it into their calendar. And Lord, we just pray, dear God, that you would allow us to do the things that you would have us to do this year. We want to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, if we're going to do that, we, of course, can do that collectively as a church. Thank you for the power of the assembly. Thank you for the things that can be accomplished because of being part of a local New Testament church. But Lord, even beyond that, individually, Lord, you can use each and every one of us as part of a chosen generation to impact people for the Lord Jesus Christ in our circle of influence. And so, Lord, may we look at this, make some decisions at the beginning of a year, a new year. Help us to be the best we can for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I made 20 extra copies of the calendar. There was already a stack back there, but I think if you haven't got one on your way out, you can certainly get one. And I'm going to talk about several things that we have planned this year, and I won't cover every single item on every single month. I'm going to kind of hit some highlights and give you a little bit of instruction and some more information about some of the things that are on the calendar. So we'll run down through that before I get into the actual sermon, but we did choose our theme verse out of 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's going to be our theme verse. I would encourage you to memorize our theme verse. It would be good if all of us just said, hey, between now and the end of the first month, end of January, somebody stops me in the foyer and says, hey, can you quote our theme verse? I'm going to be ready to go with it, okay? Now I'm putting a little pressure on you, all right? But that's good. The preacher helped us this morning by reminding us in Sunday school the importance of memorizing the Bible. By the way, didn't Brother Leslie do a good job for us? What a good message to help us. Well, I think that that message prepared our hearts for tonight's message. We want to be able to be victorious, and we want to experience the victory that God has for us. And folks, don't forget this. One of the things your preacher says a lot is, don't forget, our enemy is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe, and really the only way he can win anything is if we hand it to him. And so, you know, let's just really take that message this morning and let it do the work that God wants it to do. Many of you are not in the auditorium, of course, because you're serving out in ministries and busy. I would encourage you to listen to that message this morning. Several things that we're going to do this year. There's a number of fellowship opportunities. We have our ladies' fellowship luncheons. We have some youth fellowships and activities. We have some men's fellowship opportunities. We have some after evening collective fellowships. We'll have a time where we invite the church to come to our home. And I'm not going to stop and mention every one of those. They're in the calendar, on the calendar. Put them down in your calendar and save those dates. And I want to say this. Fellowship is important. It really is important to the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't go out and take attendance. I don't try to, you know, sit around worrying about who's there and who's not. But I just want to say, as your pastor, if you're just in the habit of skipping all of the fellowship times, make a decision this year to be a part of the fellowship, whether or not you need it. Whether you say, well, I don't think I need it. Well, maybe somebody else needs you to be a blessing to them. But I want us to take it beyond just what it can do for us and look at this also as a ministry opportunity. When we have these fellowships, ladies, let me just say, when we have one of the ladies' luncheon fellowships, you know, instead of just planning on being, by the way, every lady plan on being at these things, okay? But wait a minute, who is just recently in our church? Who's maybe just a Sunday morning person? Who's maybe somebody that's not likely to show up to some of these things unless we reach out to them? And so really stop and think, not just, I'm going to go to these things, but who in the world could I get on the phone with? Who can I stop on a Sunday morning in the foyer and say, hey, if I come by and pick you up, would you go with me to our ladies' fellowship luncheon this coming Saturday? Because folks, listen, people need to feel welcome. They need to feel wanted. And I think when they get into these opportunities, they get a chance to learn more about our church, build relationships in our church that will help them to be more faithful to the house of God and to feel more of a part of the family of God here. And so all of these fellowship opportunities that are scattered throughout, again, I won't stop and talk about every one of them, but I would encourage you to, number one, be a part of them, and secondly, also use that as an opportunity to reach out. Now, there is one adjustment in January we're going to make. I mentioned this morning, you may not have been in the service, but Pastor Hal Hightower, his wife, is having some health issues. And so he was going to be our guest speaker this Friday night, and he's not going to be able to make the trip down. He was going to preach for us Friday night at the youth rally and then also stay and preach all day Sunday. Well, they're not going to make the trip. So I asked Evangelist Eric Ramos to come down and speak at our fellowship, at our youth rally. And then I'll be preaching on the following Sunday, January 19th. And so that's one correction. As we go through the calendar of the year, there'll be times we have to get up and tweak this and tweak that, or something may change, but we try to stay pretty close to this. Now, another thing that we have in January that this we've never done before, I think it's a great idea. We're going to give it a try. So those of you that had babies in 2024, all right, sometimes we try to have a time where we have the family bring the child up, and some folks do that, and have a dedication service. Well, We're going to just have a baby dedication service every January moving forward for all of the children that have been born in the previous year. We're going to make it a whole evening. We're going to make it a big deal. We're going to have a special presentation for all of you that I think you'll cherish, and that be something that's going to be a keepsake that you'll have going forward. And so anyway, we're going to do it next year. So even those of you that weren't planning on having a child, just go ahead and put that on your calendar, and let's just get that done. And we'll have even a bigger group in 2025, and I just need to move on, don't I? Amen? All right. February is our missions emphasis month, and of course, you can see on the calendar that we're going to have five different missionary guests. We're going to have missionary Stephen Lyons and his family to Spain. We're going to have missionary Austin Reed. This is Brother Jay Reed's son, and he recently has moved down to his father's ministry, and he's going to help take the oversight of Global Church Planters, and so he's going to come and remind us about that ministry. Missionary James Baxter, who we already support, will be a guest. We also support missionary Dan DeLong, and he'll be with us for an entire day. He was such a blessing last year. And last year, I wanted him for a whole day. Brother Clancy called, was desperate, begged me to send him over there for the morning and only keep him for the night. And after I heard him on the night service, I just rebooked him for this year. And I told Brother Clancy, don't even ask. I want him for the entire day. And then Brother Sean Dunn, Victory Baptist Press down in Florida, you'll get to learn about that ministry also. And we'll talk more about that later. Now, on February 3rd through 8th, you may notice that we have we're doing a Bearing Precious Seed John and Romans project. Let me tell you a little bit what we're going to do, because I'd like to be able to raise some money, and I want you all to think about this and pray about this, and as the Lord leads, be a part of this. But it's kind of difficult for Bearing Precious Seed to schedule to come to Blessed Hope 1 week of the year, and then come to Bethel 1 week of the year, and then go to Calvary 1 week of the year, and then go to Olive Branch 1 week of the year. And so there's seven different churches that the pastors, we just said, you know what, instead of them making several trips, why don't we just plan one big project, and all of us could then chip in and be a part of it. And so let me read you a little bit about what we've set down as a goal here. Let's see here. All right, very good. So this is what we're going to try to do on February 3rd through 8th. We want to do 35,000 John and Romans for the churches on the Navajo Indian Reservation. That'd be 35,000 just for them. And so that will stay right here in the United States, go out to the reservation. And I'll talk to you about more about that in a minute. And then the remainder of the project goal is 150,000 John and Romans that will be printed in the Hindu language. Now, by the way, this is the first time this language is being printed by Bearing Precious Seed. And we'll get to be the ones that put it together. That's pretty exciting. And so these will be going to India. And so the cost is 16 cents apiece. That's what it costs to be able to put a John and Romans together. And so the different churches, as they're able, are trying to commit to a certain number of scriptures or a certain amount of money. And what I would like us to do, folks, is if we raise $5,600, we could pay for the 35,000 that are going to go to the Navajo Indian Reservation. We already have somewhat of a surplus in our missions account, but folks, it's really important that we keep a good surplus in our missions account. I don't want to just drain that dry. So I'm going to ask you to start today and throughout between now and the next several weeks as we get ready to build up for this project, to pray about giving something extra towards this. So there's 16 cents a piece. So let me kind of break it down. If you wanted to pay for 1,000, that would be $160. If you wanted to pay for 10,000 scriptures, that would be $1,600. 16 cents a piece, you can figure up the math. By the way, kids, there may be some children here that say, preacher, you know what, I don't have $160 or $1,600, but man alive, I could bring $1.60 and pay for 10 of them. Think about that. You know, wouldn't it be neat if all of the children, if parents rallied them around and said, do you realize for every 16 cents you can bring to this, you can put a John in Romans into someone's hand? Think about that. In India, in the Hindu language, that would be pretty amazing. And so we'll give you some reminders about this, but we're going to do this one this time down at Bethel Baptist Church in their gymnasium, and we'll probably maybe share that responsibility with them from time to time. Maybe next year we'll have it here, but we're going to do it down there this year, and I think that is going to be really a neat project for the churches to come together on and be able to tackle a really big project at minimum overhead and cost and time for bearing precious seed, but still allows us to have an impact and be a part of that. So February 3rd through 8th, we'll give you more details as far as when you can go down there and be a part of this, but I'm looking forward to that. You begin to pray about giving towards that. And of course, we have, I won't mention again all of them, but we have the Southern Indiana Youth Rallies kind of scattered through. We'll be attending some of these this year, and so you'll notice that. Now in March, teens, we haven't gone in the last couple years, and just because of schedule and different things, but we are going to attend the National Young Fundamentalist Conference down in Lexington the first week of March, and so we've got that. In March here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're going to do something that I've wanted to do for several years, and the Lord just kind of, I needed to find the right man and the right time, but I talked to Dr. Steve Dameron. He pastored, of course, Fairhaven Baptist College for years, and I asked him if he would come and do a King James Bible conference for us. And I think there's no doubt in most people's mind in here which Bible that you ought to be using, the King James Bible. But I'm not sure that the average Christian really honestly knows how or why. And then sometimes you're going to have people that attack that position, and they're going to bring up certain things, and maybe you don't understand how to defend that or have the answers to it. Well, if you'll come to this conference, you'll get your gun loaded, I promise you. And I think it'll go from, I use it because my pastor recommends it, to, I understand why it ought to be a conviction in my life to stick with the King James Bible. And I think that's going to be very profitable for our church. I understand a man that not many of you, maybe nobody can, but I will be preaching, Lord willing, at the Alaska Men's Retreat this year. If you didn't get a chance to go last time and you'd like to go to something like this, if you'll come talk to me, I can give you more of the details. That's at the end of March, March 26th through 31st. And so if you have an interest in that at all, come talk to me and I'll give you the details on this. In April, and again, I'm just kind of jumping through this a little bit, not covering every single thing, but we're going to do something this year, too, that I think will really better prepare us for our spring attendance campaign, our spring program, and our fall program. And so what we're going to do is the Saturday, a week before our first program, we're going to have a Blessed Hope Baptist Church workers' breakfast at 9 a.m. April 5th, Saturday morning, and we're going to give you a lot more information. I think we're just going to better equip us to be more successful in our bus ministry, in our Sunday school, in our children's ministries, as we work hard to try to reach people and bring them into the auditorium, ways to reach adults. I think that everybody that comes to this breakfast is going to benefit. We're going to cover a number of subjects. None of them will drag out. It'll be quick. It'll be to the next subject. It'll be to the next subject. Be several people speaking at this. And we're just going to better equip us to be, I think, more successful in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, go over the spring program and how best to use the tools that we're giving you to be able to help people come. And so we'll be doing that. And you may notice that's a little bit different. Then we've got the dates of our spring program. Of course, Easter, we'll celebrate that month of April. And then you pray for our school kids. They're going to give two presentations of a drama production, and they're doing it on the name of it. It is Well. And that'll be April 25th, a Friday night. And then we're going to do it again on a Saturday. The first one will be for our church family. Saturday, we want to really use this as an outreach into the community and try to get people to come to this. And so you be in prayer about that. In May, we have course graduation. We'll finish out our spring program. Now, on May 11th, 52nd anniversary. I'm excited about it. I don't think Brother Leslie thought it was a big deal, but I think it's a 52nd. It isn't. I think we all understand what he was doing. But anyway, so on our Sunday night service, we're going to have Mother's Day that morning. And Sunday night service, we haven't done this in a long time. So think about it, ladies and men. We're going to do an old-fashioned service. Now, we had old-time religion Sundays, but we haven't dressed up old-time, old-fashioned, no electricity allowed that night. Don't tell my insurance guy that we're going to have kerosene lamps all over the place. Look at the number of kids. Come just to see how big a fire and how long it takes to put it out, you know. But we're going to have a good time. It'll be a lot of fun. We want you to think about, we want you to dress the part. I'm borrowing some clothes from Joseph Yoder so that I can fit in. He doesn't use them anymore, but I think they're cool. And so I just don't want to have the haircut. That's the only thing I really don't want. But anyway, all right, sorry about that. And so we're going to be doing that. That'll be, I promise you, that'll be a fun night. And again, folks, if you mention to folks in the community about this, this is the kind of Sunday some of them will come just because it's unusual. So we do a lot of this stuff because I do want us to have a good, enjoyable time at church and the kids to have memories and all that. But every one of these things, if you get your mind thinking, how can I use this to bring somebody that night that will sit with me and be a part of this? And so we'll do our old-fashioned service. And then also, May 22nd and 24th, if y'all can save those dates, we need to do two kind of major roof replacements here at the church. And so we talked about this, when to do it. And so we've got to replace, I believe it's the garage, right? Down there by the parsonage, we got to replace, which isn't a big project. But then we also, on the metal building back here, we need to replace all of the metal roof on the backside over the new remodeled area. And may not sound like a big deal, but that's a lot of work and needs a lot of hands. And so we're going to try. You pray for the weather, too. I understand we could get close to this and may have to bump it one way or another, but we're going to try to take care of that. Brother Gordon is overseeing all of that. If you have any questions, ask him. And so we're going to try to knock that out also. In June, young men, the outdoorsman camp has been a real blessing. If you haven't been sending your young people, what's the age on that, Brother Nathan? Is it fifth grade on up, or do you remember what it is? 12 years old and up, you think? Okay, all right. And so plan on sending your young men to outdoorsman camp. And then, of course, we've got our vacation Bible school on the calendar, junior camp, so that you go ahead and have the dates. Those of you that have juniors, we've been blessed. We do it again collectively here in the area amongst a lot of churches, but over half of junior camp is Blessed Old Baptist Church kids. And so thank you for being faithful and sending your kids to that. And then we're going to take our teens out the week after that to the Royal Sea Ranch in Eufaula, Oklahoma again. And so I'll be able to spend the week with them out there. Brother Joel Haynes will be preaching to them also, and we'll have a good time. Now, July 27th, folks, is a Sunday. It's been way too long. Here we go. Just talked about, the former Amish, but Pastor Glenn Yoder, I got on the phone with him, and I told him, shame on me for having been so long in getting you back. And I've asked him to come preach the whole Sunday, but folks, again, I know he's given it to us before, but it's been a while. I told him, Sunday night, I want you to give your testimony. And Brother Yoder has one of the most amazing testimonies, salvation testimonies, as he was saved out of the Amish community. And he's just a delightful man. And he was so excited to be asked to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So kind of mark that on your calendar also. August, of course, we get things ramped up for school. Picnic at the pastor's house in September. Again, we're going to do a workers' breakfast, and so save that Saturday morning. That'll prep us to, I think, have a little bit more of a successful fall program. And then we also have our Blessed Hope Baptist Church Fall Preaching Conference. And I'm going to use three different men. I asked Pastor Gerald Claney to kick it off on a Sunday night. And then Pastor Murdoch, he's such a blessing. And I haven't had him down in a while. He's going to do Monday and Tuesday. And then some of you may have met Pastor Guy Solaric. You may know him, you may not. Most of you wouldn't know him. But I will tell you, one of the most delightful preachers you'll ever meet. And several years ago, I got to know him a little bit better. And I kept in the back of my mind thinking, I need to get Brother Solaric to come preach. And so you'll be blessed with three Indiana preachers, all right? And we'll have a good preaching conference. In October, Young Men's Outdoor Adventure Activity with Brother Gordon. And we're also going to do a men and boys camp out that same month. You know, folks, I want to invest in our young men. I want to raise up young men to serve the Lord. I want our young men to spend more time with our older men around here and be more influenced by them. So we've got a couple of those activities planned. And then, of course, if you look into November and December, we are doing our Veterans Appreciation, our Thanksgiving Eve service. We'll do the Cantata again and our Christmas Banquet and Sword Sunday and a lot of the things that we do regularly. And so please get a copy of the calendar. Please put that all of those dates into your calendar and begin to pray ahead on the things that are going to be happening here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, folks, I know what time it is, and I know you're hungry for soup, so I'm not going to keep you a long time. I mostly want to just direct your attention to our theme verse, but ye are a chosen generation. And into October, last October, I began to pray and think about this upcoming year. And God just kept bringing me back to this verse over and over and over again in a kind of an unusual and unique way. I mean, all of a sudden it would come out of left field, then it would come out of right field, and then I would come across it in a sermon that I was listening to, or I'd come across it in my devotions, and it just seems like the Lord just needed this to be the theme for this year, and so I didn't want to frustrate the will of God. And so this is what we're going to emphasize this year. Doesn't mean every message is going to be preached about a chosen generation, but we're going to emphasize the importance of generational Christianity. And folks, it's important for every single one of us that are grandparents to make sure that we're passing on our belief system to our children. And every one of you that are parents, you know what? We want to equip you better to pass on a legacy, to pass on old-time religion to your young people and to know how to do that. And young people, honestly, we want to open your hearts up to the importance of accepting that and carrying that on and not dropping the baton. And you know what? Consider precious the things that grandpa's trying to hand down to you and mom and dad's trying to hand down to you when it comes to this matter of biblical Christianity. And so you are a chosen generation. Let me just give you a couple thoughts, all right? Number one, God chose you to be a part of this generation. You think about it, He chose you to be a part of this generation. You know, people have been reading 1 Peter chapter number 2 for a lot of years, folks. Think about when it was first written. You know, I looked in the date of it, and it seems like it was written at AD 60, somewhere near that God used Peter to write this. And so you think about the first generation, the first generation Christians, you know, first century Christians that read this, and you know what God told them? But ye are a chosen generation. And it was for them. You know what? Because they were a chosen generation. I've often thought, how neat would it be as I read the book of Acts to have been alive during that time when the Church of Jesus Christ was being established and mission outreaches was just starting. And folks, even amongst the persecution that came and the courage it would have taken and the church planting efforts of those new generations. You know, but God didn't choose me to be alive then. He didn't choose me to be a part of that generation. But folks, even though this was written in AD 60, think about this. These are God's eternal words. God gave it understanding that every Christian from every generation would read these words, and it would be true of every generation, every one of us. That's because every generation is a chosen generation. And folks, just like Esther, I believe every single one of us were born for such a time as this. We're here now. You know, as David served his generation by the will of God. Hey, I wasn't alive during David's time. If I'd have been, I think I'd have tried to join that group of mighty men. I just know Jerry Ross. Because if you look at the background, they were all troublemakers and had been kicked out of everything. So they didn't have anywhere else to go. So maybe I would have fit in. I don't know. But you know what? I didn't get that chance. That wasn't God's will for me. And by the way, that wasn't God's will for you. But let me tell you what is God's will for you, to be a part of this generation. Some of us are closing out our time here, you know. We may only have a decade or two left. Some of you are just entering into life. And you know what? You say, preacher, but think about the world and think about the United States and think about the sin and think about the debauchery and think about so much that's become so acceptable. Yeah, I know. And God needs you in this generation. You were chosen for such a time as this. And so God chose you to be a part of this generation. Number two, God chose you to stand out in this generation, not blend in. God chose you to stand out, not to blend in. Now look, if you will, to verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One of the things that I want to emphasize often this year is this. We need to just embrace, folks, not run from it. We need to embrace the idea that if you're going to be a biblical Christian, you are going to stand out in this world. You are going to be considered by the world as a peculiar people. We're supposed to stand out, not blend in. We're supposed to stand out. Now, how do we do that? We do that by laying aside some things, not doing some things that are common in the world. Look, if you will, in verse 1 of 1 Peter, wherefore laying aside, think about this list, folks, malice, guile, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, all and all evil speaking. Now, we stand out because of some things we will not participate in. Okay, we're just not going to be a part of that. And by the way, if you think about that, folks, a lot of those sins are sins that can creep into the church. These are more internal sins than external sins. And I think we ought to clean up on the outside. And I think there are some things that we ought to do to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there are some very public sins that we ought not to be a part of, have nothing to do with. Amen. But folks, most of us, we've kind of grown past that. But you know what? If you're not careful, you can still be carrying malice in your heart against somebody. Come on, if we're not careful, we can operate in guile instead of purity of heart. Think about this, hypocrisy. Boy, we had a good message this morning, you know, folks. Why aren't we living a more of a victorious life? Because folks, listen, sin will make a coward out of all of us. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And you know what? I've watched secret sins creep into the heart of people and instill their boldness and instill their testimony and instill their song and instill their smile. And if you're not careful, you know what? You can come and sit and go through the motions and still be living in defeat like we heard this morning. Hey, you know what? Let's just say I'm not going to worry about blending in. My job's not to blend into the world. My job is to stand out. And if you think about that, we first of all have to be willing to lay aside some things, but we also have to be willing to embrace some things. And that takes us back to our theme verse. I want to be a part of a chosen generation. How about this? You've got to choose to be a part of a chosen generation. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to be a part of the generation that rises up and is unashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, is unashamed to live the Christian life, unashamed to be labeled, come on, a church girl, okay, or a Jesus guy. I'm not going to let derogatory statements keep me from doing the right thing. I'm going to embrace the fact that we're supposed to be different. Folks, you have to choose to be a chosen generation. You got to choose to decide you're going to be a royal priesthood. Now think about that word royal. Royal and priesthood. You know what? It's something you have to choose. Now you're saved. And you know what? I believe in the priesthood of the believer. And thank God, you know what? I don't have to go to a high priest and give him a sacrifice. And then he goes into the Holy Holies and takes the blood in for me. Thank God the veil's been ripped. Thank you. I can have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and by the way, you all have that opportunity. We're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. You can have the privileges of priesthood and yet not be involved in the practicality of priesthood. Because you all have access to Christ, but are you using that access? We all have access to the throne of grace, and it was purchased at a high price. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And yet are we not accessing that? And this idea of royalty, young people, I want to remind you of this. You're a child of the King. Okay, you're supposed to look different. You're supposed to act different. You know, I remember I couldn't help but think about Psalms 24. Come on. All of you that went to Blessed Hope, back in the old days, we did the speech paces. I think they still do it. How about Psalms 24 when you had to get up and this had to be one of the things? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. Oh, I wish we could say this. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. And then my favorite part of the psalm. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. By the way, he's also my heavenly Father. And if I'm the child of a king, then I'm royalty. And so are you. And we ought to conduct ourselves like we're a part of the royal family, amen? Well, maybe not thinking about the real one over in England, but that's not the real one. We're part of the real one. How about that? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know what, folks? I serve a king. And I'm a child of a king. And I want to represent properly my king. So I want to be a part of that royal priesthood. How about this idea of holiness? Don't we need to emphasize that? A holy nation, a peculiar people, folks. You know, again, I choose it. I choose to be a part of a chosen generation. I choose to participate in the royal priesthood privileges that come with that. I choose to be a part of a holy nation. Now, folks, I want every single one of us, the beginning of this year, just to choose holiness again. Let's just choose holiness again, okay? Let's choose to be set apart. Let's not fight against it. Let's choose it. I choose to be sanctified, not because of rules in a Christian school or because of what mom and dad makes me do, but because I'm a child of the King. I choose to live a holy life. I choose to do right. I choose to live right. I choose to talk right, walk right, dress right, be right. I choose to set as the goal of my life to be, as the Bible challenges to be ye holy because God is holy, because he is holy. I'm not going to, listen, get over this idea of trying to blend into the world. Okay, I choose to be peculiar in this world. I'm going to stand out. You know why? Because I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to talk like they talk. I'm not going where they are going. And you know what? I want to live a life that brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So get over it. I just want to go to a handful of Christians, and I love you. I love you, bless hope. But some of you just, you know what? You just have a hard time standing out and standing up for Jesus. You're too worried about what the world thinks. You're too worried about trying to impress a group of people that you shouldn't care about impressing. Okay? You're more interested in being popular in the eyes of the world than you are popular in the eyes of God. If you're going to live according to the scriptures, you're going to be a peculiar person in this world. Stop trying to blend in and decide that you're going to stand out. It was a great day in my Christian life when I say, I choose to be peculiar to the world. I choose to be different. I choose to be separated from the world. I choose to stand out. I choose to obey God where he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I choose to live godly. I choose whatever persecution comes with that, because the Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Who cares? I'm going to do right and live right, and whatever persecution comes with that, so what? I choose to be light in darkness. I choose to place my candle on a candlestick instead of hiding it under a bushel. I choose to be a city that's set on a hill. I choose to turn my back on worldly values and worldly enticements and worldly pleasures. And folks, listen, the preacher here that hit that this morning. I need to probably preach a whole message on just pleasures are captivating and I believe causing a generation of Christians to be unfruitful, to not produce the fruit that they ought to. Way too much playing and not enough going after souls. Way too much playing and not enough ministry. Okay, and even some good men are getting way too caught up into doing all the fun stuff, but refusing to do the hard stuff, you know. Okay, I choose to turn my back on all that. I choose Jesus. I choose to be a part of a chosen generation, a people of God. Think about that, who've experienced the mercy of God. That's what it goes on to say. I want to be clearly identified as part of the people of God. Call me a church kid, that's all right. Come on, kids, get over it. Okay, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Get over it. One person says one thing, you fold like a lawn chair. Just square your shoulders up and say, yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I love God. That's why I love that song before the service. We need a whole generation to stand up and say that. Call me a Jesus girl. Call me a church boy. It's fine with me. Call me old-fashioned. That's okay. I choose to walk the Bible way. That's what I want to do. I choose God. I choose God over this world. I choose holiness over worldliness. And again, I just, God bless you. I'm going to keep praying, and I'm glad to be your pastor. But some of you just need to get past this. You care way too much what the world thinks. You're spending way too much time trying to impress the world. You're more concerned about what worldly people think about you than you do what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. Let's get past that. Grow past it. Amen. See, God has chosen us, according to this verse, and I'm done, to bring praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that was just about an 18-minute taste tester. We're going to preach a lot on this. We're going to hit this a lot because, folks, we need a whole generation of young people that will say, I'll be a part of a chosen generation. We just took little portions of the verse and kind of scattered it around it. Marvelous light. These ought to be the characteristics. These ought to be the things that identified us, the people of God, strangers. We're supposed to be strangers here. We're not supposed to fit in here. We're not supposed to look like we're from here. Holy nation. How about a royal priesthood? How about let's show these things forth? How about the praises of God? How about we've obtained mercy. We're to be pilgrims, folks, dearly beloved, out of darkness. And you look at the phrases that are around our church's verse, our church's theme verse, and you see the same thing, peculiar people, looking for the glorious appearing, looking for that blessed hope, live righteously, live soberly, denying ungodliness. Why? Who gave himself for us? Who did? Our Savior Jesus Christ. So as a result, should we be zealous of good works? And you know, folks, we're going to have a great year. I'm excited about it. I'm thankful for it. As I said at the beginning, everything on the calendar, let me just remind you, I understand it's Lord willing. But you know what? Let's plan to do some incredible things for the Lord Jesus Christ and to make an impact in our community. Yes, through the things that we're going to plan here in the programs of the church. But folks, I think the real potential is in every one of us deciding to live a life that matters, that impacts the people that we have influence on. And if all of us, think about this, if everybody in here, here's a real simple little goal. If everybody in here said, Lord, I want to live in such a way that my life influences one person in 2025 to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to get saved, to become a part of our church, do you realize that we could be sitting here a year from now with chairs up and down the aisle, with chairs in the back area back there, with chairs down the center aisle? But we've got to decide to make a difference. I can't reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. But tell me this, can all of us reach somebody? Amen.